Don't be afraid. Don't panic, okay? This stuff you see up here, that's JSON. JSON is a text-based declarative language, and it is a template that we're using here of JSON is specifically for building resources in Azure. This is pure infrastructure as code. Now, not too long ago, we did a series of events in the United States, TechNet on Tour events, and what we call an IT Innovation Series, all around building infrastructure using JSON. Now, what you see on the screen here is the lab manual for that. So as part of our presentation, part of our day, it was a full day, it included a lot of hands-on labs that worked, walked you through the process of how to deploy and build resources in Azure using text, using Azure-based or Azure Resource Manager-based JSON templates, and all the ways around doing that, managing the source code, source control using Git and GitHub, editing the documents using Visual Studio Code and using any other text editor you want, because it's basically text, and then deploying those resources. So you see our four labs here. Lab 1, deploying resources with ARM templates. Designing storage was the next one, working with Azure Networking, and so on. Now, these labs are very well received. They really work great. They were hosted online, so you actually got a link to a special location where we had virtual machines set up that would walk you through that whole process, and you did the labs. Well, what was cool about that is that people didn't have to put any resources local. They could do it all online. But I thought, wait a minute, if they can do it all online in this hosted environment, why couldn't they also have the virtual machines that are the lab environment actually running in Azure? Well, reality is there is no reason for that other than maybe some Azure resources and some requirements of that. Now, I will say that to run these four virtual machines that make up the lab environment in a trial account, not so easy to do because a trial account in Azure only allows four cores in total to be running at any given time. Or to be configured at any given time. And that's a problem because I actually need a D2 machine, which is a standard D2 machine size in Azure, which has two cores, plus three other machines with one core each. Well, you're already over the four core limit. The D2 is required, though, because it also is necessary for the sake of having two NICs, because one of the labs requires a multi-home machine. So there's some things you got to be aware of as far as that goes. But you should be able to at least launch this lab environment, build this lab environment, and then walk through the labs. And so that was what my goal was for this whole thing. So what I did, and what I want to document in this, is actually how I built the lab environment. Now to do that, I thought, well, it'd be great if I could build this as Azure Virtual Machines, and hey, why don't I just use the same technology that we used in the labs themselves to actually automate the process, to build a JSON template, JSON parameter files, some other resources, and then launch it through PowerShell. In fact, here's a PowerShell ISE where I have a script that I've copied from GitHub. I'll show you where those resources are in just a minute. And you run this script to log in, to set up some variables, and ask a couple quick questions, and then provision the lab environment. And as you see my result here, my last time I ran it, it completed just a little bit ago at 42 minutes in time that it took to run. So you see it took 42 minutes to provision four virtual machines. So where are those virtual machines? Let me show you what I've got here in Azure. They look something like this. There's a domain controller. There's an administrative workstation. We have an edge machine, which is that multi-home machine for the networking lab. And then we've got a sync machine that we can work on to do the synchronization for Azure Active Directory for the Azure Active Directory lab, lab number 4. And these were all built, and they're all up and running automatically by simply running some PowerShell that in turn created a resource group in Azure, in Azure Resource Manager, and then also provisioned the resources. So what tools do we need to make this happen? You're going to need to have an editor, the editor I have here is Visual Studio Code, and we can use that. It's great. It integrates with Git and GitHub. A lot of the details of this are actually part of the lab. So lab number 1, you'll actually learn more about this integration and actually work with some of those resources. But I use this also to do the editing of those JSON templates, and in particular the Azure Deploy JSON and Azure Deploy Parameters JSON to test this all out. You could as easily use Notepad++. Notepad++ is a great text editor. It's got some great extensions you can add to that to help format your code. Again, don't be afraid, IT pros. I know this is code, but we'll get through this. We'll get through this together. But it allows us to collapse various areas as well, and auto formatting, and also nice highlights of, for example, bracketing. Some of the biggest errors you're going to make when you start working with JSON is not having the brackets in the right place, or matching brackets, as well as the dreaded comma. The commas are an easy thing to mess up on. But I have that tool installed as well. I have the GitHub desktop installed. So this allows me to look at all the different changes I've made in a particular repository, which is actually online, and this is actually associated with that online resource. And I can actually watch for any changes. So I can commit any additional changes that I make in the code and so on. I can use this tool as well. But as mentioned, Visual Studio Code actually does that too. I mentioned Notepad++. Let's see. Oh, PowerShell. So what I have here is the PowerShell again, the PowerShell ISE. And in order to drive Azure with PowerShell, you do need to have the PowerShell commandlets installed. Now, one of the things that is in the lab build guide is instructions on how to set up the environment, and in particular, in important links for example, to download the Azure PowerShell commandlets. Now, you can use this URL here, or you can simply go to the Azure portal. And in fact, I'll just go ahead and open a new tab here. And go to azure.microsoft.com. And it's very easy to find the resources for downloads, the SDKs, as well as any command line tools. So here's the SDKs, scroll down a little bit. Here's the CLI for Windows, for Mac, for Linux, and so on. But importantly for this, here's the PowerShell. So you run this Windows install, and you will get the latest web platform installer, which will in turn then install the commandlets for Azure for PowerShell. So you'll want to do that, and you'll want to do that in more recent. If you've done it a number of months ago, you might want to do it again, just because those do rev every few months, and you'll want to get the newest commandlet set available to work with these with this provisioning. Also, another resource I have made available for you, as I showed you here, is the build guide itself. So the two documents that are really important, and I'll give you some links on where to go to find these documents in total as well, are the lab guide itself, the lab manuals. This is what you're going to use after you've built the and provisioned the environment. And then the build guide, which is the one that actually walks you through the process. This is a very small document, 6 pages. That's the idea here. I wanted to pre-do the work for you in the automation so that all you would need to do if you wanted to build the lab environment is follow the simple instructions here. But again, the purpose of this video and the purpose of this series of videos that I'm doing here is all about how did I actually build the build guide? How did I actually build the automation? What does it take to build some machines, to associate them with a virtual network, to create a domain controller, to add machines to a domain, to provision lab files, to do some configuration of group policy and some local policy settings on those machines in order to make these labs work? There's a lot of small pieces that I had to figure out in order to make this work, and so I thought it was worthwhile to share with you what I actually did to get that working. So just to kind of wrap this up here, I'm going to launch the automation just to show you what that looks like. And again, in the build guide itself, it instructs you on where to go to find some additional tools here. Scroll down to find this. So I've already launched the ISE, and the next step, number 4 here, is navigate to this particular lab-based script. So I'm going to go ahead and open up that page. And notice what it shows us. A PowerShell script. That's the PowerShell script that I've already copied and put in my ISE, but I'll show you how that's done. I click on Raw in GitHub, and that brings up just the text of the script. Control A to select it, and I can do Control C to copy it. Go to the ISE, paste it in here, which I already had, and then select all the text and run the selection. Now you can look at the script in detail, and we'll probably walk through it a little bit in bits and pieces in upcoming episodes in this series here. But for now, I'm just going to run the selection. And it's going to ask me to log in. I'm going to go ahead and log in with my Microsoft account in order to use a personal account. And for this one, I actually have a work account associated with that address too, so it's asking me which one. I'll choose personal. you go. And now it's doing a lot of other work for me after the login here as well. So it's going to take a second to come back and ask me another question here. But it's populating some variables. It's finding unique DNS names. It's doing a number of things for us. So I'm going to enter some initials here. That also helps kind of make unique some different names that have to be unique globally. So I'll hit enter. And it's asking me which data center region in the U.S. I want to put this on. And I'm only giving you two choices, either East U.S. or West U.S. So you want to type this carefully. I'm going to choose East U.S. Hit enter. And it's using these values to provision some resources. It's building a resource group for me. And it's also then deploying. Now you see this deployment is actually happening now. Now I can verify that. If I go back to my browser here, see, I've already logged in with this to a different account. I'm using a corporate account, so bear with me while I log in to that personal Microsoft account-based subscription. So here's my portal where I've launched those machines to be created. And if I look at the virtual machines list here, I should probably by now already see a number of virtual machines. And there's the four machines currently creating that I've actually launched in an automated fashion. Now I can look and see the resource groups, and that's really at the heart of it all. The resource group is what was built to uniquely group those resources as a part of this. And I created a resource group called RG-AZLabKAR for my initials. And if I drill into that, I'm going to see that this is provisioning. In fact, what it might come up with is actually having succeeded, but it succeeded in the first step, which was creating some networking resources. So here's the resource group. And look, it's already created some virtual machines, some NICs, a number of other resources. As I mentioned, it says succeeded here, but that's because one of the steps has already succeeded, the creation of the virtual network. I'm currently in the Azure Deploy step, and if I drill into that, I can actually see where we're at in the process. So it's still running, and it's going to take between 30 to 45 minutes to actually complete. But what is it doing for me? Well, it's currently creating the virtual machines and doing the provision of the compute resources. It's already created the network. It's already created the storage accounts. It's already created the virtual network and so on. And eventually it's also going to then do some provisioning to these machines. So as I mentioned, if I have a domain environment, of course I have to provision this as a domain controller. If I have member servers, they have to be joined to the domain. This particular automation also adds files to the machines. There's lab files involved and example scripts and so on that have to be on the machines. There's other provisioning of those machines to make things work properly. So all this stuff I wanted to be able to do automated. And what's great about this is, as I mentioned, in the end, when this is all done, it comes back successful, you're going to be able to go into that virtual machine, and here's an example. I'm actually logged into the admin machine on that other Azure subscription, and the admin machine is a server. It brought me right into the server manager, but I can see on this server it is named admin. It's joined to the local domain. It had to be done in an automated way. Also, interestingly for this particular machine, the C folder here has a lab files folder, and that lab files folder has extracted a zip file that has all the content for the different labs, and those are all put there automatically for you so that the lab manual knows and can actually instruct you in what you do next when you actually walk through the labs. But I wanted to make sure that everything was in place so that you could do these labs with minimal additional manual steps. There are a couple of additional manual steps for installing some of the tools onto this particular admin machine, but as you saw, the lab manual or the lab build guide is only 6 pages long, so it's very, very simple to set up the lab environment. And so, again, the purpose of this video series is to walk you through how I actually did this automation. What hurdles did I have to overcome in order to provision a DC, to provision a member servers, to add these lab files, and some other provisioning around these virtual machines? So let's take a look at my build. My build is going to complete again in about 45 minutes, so we won't stick around for that. Now, one other thing you're going to want to be aware of is that these quick start templates, and really the basis for how I was able to build these automations, really has to do with good examples that are already out there. And those examples are out there in the form of these Azure Quick Start templates. And as you see here, I've already Googled on Bing Azure Quick Start templates, and that brought me right to the top two items here, which are really important to us. One is this Azure Quick Start templates location at Azure. This is actually in the Azure portal. And you see that I can actually do a search on examples and templates that are already built for me. And there are dozens, if not hundreds already, 13 pages worth of these templates that are already built and ready to go. And I can click on any one of these. It'll bring me into more information on, for example, how to build HD Insight on Linux. And notice I can actually even deploy right from this. So these are actually set up to actually launch into your Azure subscription and allow you to look at the template, allow you to edit the parameters, and then launch the deployment of this piece. Now be aware, these have been around for a while. Some of these examples no longer work because some of the syntax sometimes have changed. So you're going to use this more as a learning tool, not necessarily as the end-all be-all for some of the solutions. But that's the benefit here. You can do a search on, for example, building a virtual machine that is a domain controller. Well, that's what I did. I looked for a good template example. And that template example also had other pieces to it as well, such as building load balancing for domain controllers. So I didn't need that, but I took the piece about provisioning a domain controller and added that to my automation for building lab environment. Now, similar to that, and another of the links here is the actual GitHub location where these are found. So if I open that up, or actually I have that up here in another tab too, I see I have a nice list of all the examples that are up on GitHub, and I can see the names kind of given an indication of what they're for, as well as the description. And you can do a quick search on a simple example of building a simple Linux virtual machine. And notice we can see that that scripting right here is already set to go. And if I want to drill into it, see what the script looks like, I can do that and learn from that, copy it, use it in my own editor, put it in my own GitHub repository, eventually launch a provisioning either through PowerShell or directly in the Azure portal and launching a new Azure Resource Manager template. So all the great things we can do with that. So those are two really useful resources and ones that we're going to drill into more as we go through this series. And finally, I want to leave you with the links, and that's what this document is called, the links. This is a document that I wanted to put together so that you had a pointer to all the different pieces we're talking about right at your fingertips, and in fact, even more so in the sense that you don't have to remember or write these URLs down from this video. If you go to this first document here, this actually opens up this. So if you go to aka.ms/azinfra for Azure Infrastructure, so azinfra lab links, that will bring you to this document. And in this document, I also have a link to the repository where I put all my resources. So if I click on this, it's going to open up my browser and bring me right into the GitHub repository for where these documents are, where the PowerShell scripts are that we're going to talk about in the rest of this series, the actual script in PowerShell that I launched earlier, as well as the Azure Deploy JSON the big bit of code that does all that provisioning for us, as well as some others that build the virtual networking and so on. So that's one very useful resource. Other links in this document, the actual guides themselves, the build guide for setting up the lab environment, as well as the lab instructions themselves. I call this a homebrew edition because it's actually having built your own lab infrastructure. Now you're able to use this against that versus the previous hosted one. I also have landing pages for my own resources for you. So if you want to get to the landing page for this series, it's right here, aka.ms/azinfralabblog. I have a channel on Channel 9. This is actually a place I put together for hosting these, as well as other video series and video entries. And then my blog, Full of IT, aka.ms/fullofit. Follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook, find me on LinkedIn. I'll connect with you. And I do hope you find these resources useful. And we will be back very soon for another part in this series on how to build a lab environment for working with Azure Resource Manager.